Lord. Yes, Lord. This week I have tried to be a keeper of God's Word. Does that sound strange coming from a minister? I've had a prophetic word given to me. As it's turned out, it's been three different times, and it's the same word from three different people, and I've not told anybody. I shared a little bit back on Monday night. If you want to, just get ready. I feel the anointing for preaching this room. I'm getting ready. How many is hot? It's going. All right. You can only make so much of a demand on the power source. If you make more of a demand than the power source is able to give, you're going to short circuit the power source. I just told you a principle in the Word. If you're short circuiting, get more power. Come on. If life is short circuiting you, get more power. What I started to say is that prophetic word was that I spend quiet time in the presence of the Lord. The first time I heard that, it hurt my feelings. Sometimes the word you get not really easy to receive. It hurt my feelings because I've been spending all the time that I could spend in making more time than most. And yet the Lord is saying, I want more of you. I want more of you. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me some explanation because I don't really understand what you're telling me. I don't understand what you're trying to say to me. I'm giving myself to you. I have moved from one of the most beautiful spots in the state of Missouri to Houstonia. How much more are you going to require of me, Lord? Not only that, but you put me in a little old storefront hole-in-the-wall church. I'm just having a conversation with the Lord. How many know sometimes you need to get gut honest with God?
Right.
Just gut honest. I said, I don't know. How much more can I give? And then he said, I want intimacy. I want intimacy. I want intimacy. I don't want you running in and sitting down and jamming like you're cramming for a test in school. I want intimacy. I want you. I want to spend time with you. I've called you, I've created you so that I would have someone to fellowship with. And if you refuse to get into intimacy, I cannot have the level of fellowship I want. How many is hearing me this morning? Without the Word of God, you cannot get into that place of intimacy because you can't even talk His language without the Word of God. Come on. He can hear the honesty of your heart, but He cannot commune with you what He wants to convey to you because you have not learned His language. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews this morning. When God begins to move on you, He's moving on you so that He can move in you. Come on. He will either be moving upon you or He will be moving in you. And His whole process for moving upon you is so that He can move into you. Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to go back this morning. We preached in Hebrews last week, and I was given a typewritten word from the Lord this week, and I got around to reading that, and I had started already. God was dealing with me about this morning's message, and I'd already preached out of Hebrews, and I said, Lord, am I going back to Hebrews? And He said, yes, you're going back to Hebrews. And I said, what are the people going to think? And He said, let me talk to you a minute. Where's that letter? Where's that typewritten letter that was given to you? So I dug it out. And you know what was in that letter? Don't worry about what people think. Don't be concerned if I keep you in Hebrews for 6 months. I'm talking. And when I talk, you listen. How many is ready to listen to what God's got to say this morning?
Amen.
You see, if you came today not willing to receive, God's going to work on you so that He can work into you. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read first out of a translation that I've had in my office and have used a lot, but it's the Modern English. How many can accept the Modern English as I read it out of the Word this morning? God, who gave to our forefathers many different glimpses of the truth in the words of the prophets, has now, at the end of the present age, given us the truth in His Son. Through the Son, God made the whole universe, and to the Son He has ordained that all creation shall ultimately belong. Do you realize that we are the possession of Jesus Christ? Now, we got to look at the time frame. I want to do a little historical time frame study here for just a minute. You realize that when Hebrews was written, it was in a time that the old covenant was being replaced by the new covenant. Jesus came to replace the old covenant with a new covenant that was workable. The old covenant was not workable. Religion grabbed hold of the old covenant, and religion is a killer. Come on, the Word without the Spirit, the Word says, killeth.
Yes, that's right.
And the Spirit giveth life. So Jesus came to add a dimension to the old covenant that could not be accomplished in the old covenant. Moses was the instrument that God used to give the old covenant, and all of us know the old covenant, and that is the Ten Commandments. Now, he said, I did not come to do away with that, but I came to add a dimension to that that was not working. That's the time frame that we're now in. Now, what he's saying is, at this present time, the time past, at the end of this present time. So he's in a dimension change. What he's doing here in the Word is in a dimension change. Now, if the dimension change is taking place, then that means that we must have a mental change to understand now the writer of Hebrews. We cannot understand the writer of Hebrews looking through the Old Testament, from the Old Testament into Hebrews to understand Hebrews. We must, in the Spirit, look back to the Old Testament to understand the significance of the Old Testament. Am I making sense?
Amen.
So what he's saying, it's at the end of this present age. In other words, we are coming to an end of what we have now had and have enjoyed, and we have heard from the words of the prophet. We've heard God's word through the prophets. Now then, we are going to hear God's word through the Son of God. And that's what he's saying, through the Son of God made the whole universe, and to the Son He has ordained. That means that it is God's will that all creation shall ultimately belong to God. There's not an individual in here. It didn't say to God. I got ahead of myself in the wording here. But to ultimately belong to the Son. And how many knows that the Son of God is God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, what he's saying is, we are at the end of, and because we are now at the end of, with this new dispensation, if you will, or this new season of time, it is God's will that every one of us will belong to Him. Everyone that has been created for a purpose, and that's to be the possession of Christ Jesus. Every one of us have that mandate. God wants to own us through the Son. The Son, this Son that He's talking about, the radiance of the glory of God, flawless expressions of the nature of God, Himself, the upholding principles of all that is, affected in person, the reconciliation between God and man, and then took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, thus proving himself by the more glorious name that he has won, far greater than all angels of God. So we need to be the possession of Christ Jesus, ultimately the possession of God. For Jesus said, I'll do nothing, say nothing, or be anything that I have not seen my Father do. Now we go into Hebrews here and we see that it didn't say he's the likeness of God. We need to understand this one. The word does not say that he was the likeness of God, but it said he was the exact radiance of God. Big difference. I'm not a playing on words this morning, but we need to get an understanding of who God really is. We are not just to become like him. We are to have the radiance of him. And if we have the radiance of God in us, then the people that look at us will not see us, but they'll see the God that's in us. That's what Jesus came to do. That's the ultimate that he brought to the old covenant. And as he brought in the new covenant, he brought only two commandments with the new covenant. The old covenant had 10 commandments, but the new only has two. And that is, number one, love. Love was in the old covenant. Number two is obedience. Obedience was in the old covenant. So he didn't add anything that was not already in the old covenant. So those of you that are law seekers, I want to quickly tell you that everything in the old covenant is encapsulated in the new covenant. However, it's by the Spirit of God that we become obedient to God. Come on. The thing in the old covenant that could not cover the fullness of what God wanted it to cover is the Spirit of God was not working in them, because the Word of God came through the prophets of God. Did God do away with the prophet? No, he did not. He added a dimension to the prophet. What we see here is God is making a way for everyone to ultimately belong to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. God does not want any one of us to ever spend eternity in hell. He wants us to have eternity with him. That's why the writer is bringing this. To which of the angels did he ever say such words as these, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Or again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. No angel has ever had that. Angels do not have that opportunity. However, if you study far enough in the Word of God, we are sons of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a place in Christ Jesus that no other creation has ever had or ever will have. It's through Jesus Christ. That's why in the name of Jesus, the Word says that every demon in hell has to flee. There's nothing that you'll ever face that you cannot use the name of Jesus with the Word backing you, and that demon, whatever you're facing, has to leave. The body of Christ has far too long walked way beneath their privileges. Way too far beneath the authority that we have as sons of God. Everything that Jesus did, we have the opportunity also to do. Come on. It's in the Word. When Jesus left, he said, everything that you have seen me do, you can do. How can you do it? By the Word. In the Word. As we speak out of the Word, that brings a power that we don't have within ourselves. We have the power of heaven when we proclaim the Word of God. As we proclaim the Word of God, then we can speak the name of Jesus, and every demon has to flee. It cannot stay in your presence. Come on. If you've got the power of God in you, the demons cannot stay in your presence. Get a hold of this one, people. We need to become victorious. We need to quit backing up. We need to start charging forward and taking that God has already given us. Do you realize you are the representation in this day of God?
Amen.
How are you representing him? Come on. God wants you to represent him. You will either be moved of him or moved up on by him. You're going to hear that more and more and more until it gets down deep inside of us. We will be moved on or moved in. I want him moving in me. People know when God's in you.
Amen.
You don't have to blow your trumpet. Just be who you are. Come on. Too many people have been blown away, have been run away from the body of Christ because too many are blowing their own trumpets about themselves and not about God.
Amen.
I don't want to go there this morning. Thank you, Lord. I won't. Hallelujah. That'd preach a long time, but I'm not. Further, when he brings his firstborn into this world of men, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. This is what he says of the angels. God himself makes a distinction between angels. One of the reasons that God brought me to this place is because we have a sect of people now that are teaching angelic experiences, and they're focusing on the angelic experience. Let me tell you, the angels are of God's creation, and they are messengers of God. They are servants of God, but they are not to be worshipped in place of God. We need to get it right, folks. It's only Jesus Christ in this time that we are now facing, that we're now living, that we have access to the throne. You can't get to the throne any other way than through Christ Jesus. You are his possession. And as we are his possession, that means we have his stamp, his name upon us. He said, I'll make you a signet ring. I'll make you a signet ring. And that signet ring carries authority. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being out of the authority of God. I want the authority of God working in my life so that when I come in contact with someone that needs extra power, I've got it to give and can change their lives. Is that pride? No, no, no. That's knowing who you are. I remember when Dale Earnhardt, I was watching the day Dale Earnhardt left here. I drove a Monte Carlo. How many knows that Dale Earnhardt had a place in my heart? That man could have been perceived as one of the most arrogant and proud men in the whole motor sport. But I watched him. He knew who he was. He didn't go to a race that he didn't know what he was going to do, except his last race. And the moment that he got his eyes off of his goal is when he left here. I was watching it. God spoke to me that day. He said, I want you to go back and look at it. He got his eyes on his opponent, and it took his life. And if you get your life focused on your opponent, it'll take you out too.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. You can know who you are. But the moment you get your eye on your opponent, you've just been had. Oh, I feel something on that. God wants you. He designed you to be his. Come on. He wants everything about you. He doesn't want you keeping one thing back, because everything he's designed you for is greater than what you can do for yourself. Come on. Mm-mm-mm. Even the angelic beings who, when he says of the angels, who maketh his angels winds. Do you realize that many times there's an angelic being that's blowing in the breeze for your benefit? Can you envision that? Blowing in the breeze for your benefit. They're serving angels. And his ministers as a flame of fire. Andrew ought to have seen angels before now, because he loves to play in fire so much. He's got to see some angels in some fire. Ministering a flame of fire. How many has ever had the fire of God come upon you? Does it change you? Yes, it does. Do you realize that an angel just went by and went, whew, the presence of God upon you? They have a place, but they are not to be worshipped. Jesus is your master. Come on, Jesus is your Lord. But when he spoke, or when he speaks of his son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Now get a hold of this one. God the Father is speaking of Jesus the Son, but he is referring to him, thy throne, O God. God the Father is giving him a throne and a place in the deity. When Jesus left, he said, what I did, you can do, and greater. Does that mean that God gave you a throne and that God will give you a place in the deity? Think about it a minute here. For if we really see our place in the kingdom of God, we'll hold on to our salvation with everything in us. Come on. God wants you. Now let me quickly say, the grace and the mercy of God is greater than anything you've ever done. He is. He's greater. Now let's look at something else here in the scripture here. And the scepter of uprighteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now let's go to verse 3 and let's look at something in the King James Version. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. I want you to underscore those four words in your Bible. God will forgive you for it. He'll forgive you for writing in this book. Come on. What we need to understand is what I have just shared with you about from this modern English version is what the word is saying in the King James Version is the word of his power. Not the power of his word. When God gave me that revelation, it changed everything about me. Have I ever been in a time in my life that sin was knocking on my door or temptation was knocking on my door? Yes, I've been there. Have I ever been to the place that it overcome me, that temptation overcame me? Yes, I have been there. But the mercy and the grace of God is sufficient for those times. We need to understand that we are not perfect, but we are made perfect through Christ Jesus. We are made perfect through the word of his power, not the power of his word. Come on. Most of us want the power of his word, so we want to speak his word, and his word does not bring things back like we spoke it. Why? Because his power is not there. You can have the word without the power, but you cannot have the power without the word. That's what he's saying here. I gave Jesus a place of deity, and we are also created for a place of deity in God's kingdom. We must get a kingdom mentality. In a kingdom mentality, or a kingdom, the king has all the say. We don't have any say. We Americans have went to seed on having our rights. Come on. We are so independent that when God speaks, we argue with God. How many has ever argued with God? It's okay to question him, but it's not okay to argue with him. Because you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But the word of his power. Now then, to find out the word of his power, let's run over to... Lord, what I need to go from here. Let's go to Revelations. I love Revelations. I used to never speak out of Revelations, but anymore I'm in it a lot. How many knows that we're in that time of life that Revelations is being revealed? Let's go to Revelations 4th chapter. And let's go down to about, I'm going to go to verse 10. The four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, do you realize that your crown is all of your giftings? All of the effectiveness that you have had with your giftings in your life? All of the people that you have led to Christ during your life? All the accolades that you have in being a Christian and a kingdom person, that's your crown. And it says they threw all of that down at his feet. Now listen, if that is where your focus is, you will never get to the throne because it has to be thrown at his feet. Everything that you are has to be thrown at his feet. Everything that you ever accomplish in this life will be thrown at his feet. And in that one, that activity has to take place before the next activity can take place. And that's in verse 11. Thou art worthy. As they cast them down and their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. What were we singing just a few minutes ago? Why did the awe of God come into this room when we began to sing this? You connected with the angelic forces that were singing the same thing you were singing. I hope you can understand this scripture right now. Because when we connect with the angelic beings that are designed and created just to bring honor to Him, and when you connect with that, there's something that happens in the atmosphere. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It didn't say for man's pleasure. It said for the pleasure of Jesus. That's why that we were created. We were created because He wants us, and He wants to commune with us, not just to communicate. There is a difference between communion and communication. Should I go there? How many knows the difference? Let me see your hand. Communion and communication. I don't need to preach that one then, do I? We all know the difference. God wants to commune, not communicate. That's what this word's telling us. He wants the communion. And in the communion is where the power of His Word is released. If my wife and I would have only had a legal document saying that we were married and we had not had communion, she could not know my thoughts. But since communion, we'll even say the same word at times. Come on. Oh, I hope you get this one. This is important. When we begin to commune with Father, we will start talking His language and saying the words that He says. We won't have to read it out of a book. It's going to come out of us because it is us. Oh, I feel something on this, folks. God wants you. He wants you. He wants everything about you because He wants to give you His very best. God wants to give that. And then it says, I saw, I'm in chapter 5 now of Revelations. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed. And then on down in verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all of the earth. How many knows the seven spirits of God? I'm going to take time for something here this morning. A scepter in the Old Testament was something you could lean on. Every servant that was sent out to take care of sheep had a scepter. And that scepter, he could lean on it when he got tired. That scepter, he could use it to fight off the animals, the prey. The scepter became a tool. It became an instrument that he used every day. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Jesus. And as long as the righteousness of God is in us, we can lean on it wherever we are. And it will never let us down. Never. That's what He wants us to lean on. Righteousness. Now, what makes us righteous? Let's go over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews a minute. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand. Through faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith Abel offered up a better, more righteous sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated. But without faith it's impossible to please God. By faith Noah, being warned By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he had, should after receive the inheritance, obeyed. Verse 8 of chapter 11 will tell you what righteousness is. It was counted unto Abraham as righteousness because he staggered not at the promises of God, and he obeyed, and he took what he had, and he went to the journey that God led him to without question. Now, those of you that saw that movie, he questioned God at every turn, but that's not what the Word says. That's not what the Word says. It said he went without question. Through obedience, it made him a man of righteousness to God. You cannot wear the clothes enough to make you righteous. You cannot get your sleeves down below your fingers enough to make you righteous. You can't take the earrings out of the ring out of the ears and make yourself righteous. But you can be righteous with obedience. Obedience is what God wants for us. And when we are obedient, we can always lean upon the Word of God, and it'll never let you down.
Amen.
Never let you down. God wants you. Do you want God this morning? Do you want God this morning? If you want God this morning, stand to your feet. The Lord, early hours of the morning, God spoke to me and he said, I want you to lead the people in a prayer of repentance today. Seemed like that we have had several of these lately. How many knows that I said, God, we've already done that two or three times. He said, I didn't ask you, I told you. Come on. You see, I have a responsibility to deliver the Word of God according to the way he tells me to. Not by my desire, but it's by his demand. Come on. Heavenly Father, I want to encourage, before we go any farther, I want to encourage everybody in this house to pray this prayer. I don't care where you've come from. God doesn't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've done this week. God doesn't care what you've done this week. What he cares about is what you're going to do now, today, with his word. You see, today is the first day for the rest of your life. How you spend today will determine how you're going to spend tomorrow. It's that simple. And I encourage you to pray this prayer and mean what you're saying. Don't just pray it because the preacher's told you to pray it. If that's the case, keep your mouth shut, because you're committing yourself to something that God will require of you. Don't get yourself there, because God will deal with your words. He will. He will either move up on you or he will move inside of you. With a prayer of repentance, we get him from off of us, inside of us. Come on. I don't want God working on me anymore. He's worked on me for 60 years, and I don't want another year of him working. I want him working in me. Come on. It hurts when he works on me.
Dear Father,
I come to you this morning,
and I have heard the truth.
I've heard your word,
and I know that your word is power,
and I know I can depend upon your word.
I can lean on your word.
Father, now,
I give you me,
I give you my mind,
my will,
my emotions,
and my body.
I give them to you now.
And I choose this day
to make you the master
of my life
and the Lord
of my dreams
and the God
of my salvation.
And I lean
on your word,
and I expect
that it will never
let me down.
Father, I thank you.
I thank you for forgiveness.
I ask you now
to forgive me
for every unkind word
that I've ever uttered,
and put love in the place
of that void
that was made in me
as I was forgiven for that word
that didn't please you.
Father,
every action
that I have ever performed,
I lay it at your feet now,
and I ask you to forgive me And from this day forth,
I choose to renounce
all association with those actions that have hurt you. I now embrace you, Lord. And I embrace your loving forgiveness. And I thank you for it. Lord, I choose today to let your word be the number one in my life, delivering me from me, of me, and of my past. I now rejoice that I am now your child, completely restored to you. And I thank you for it. Now give him praise.